About that, you know what's so great about
just
that?
Just a second.
Al? What is this, Joe Decky, or is this the other one that you
Joe
said?
Joe Decky.
Like?
This is Joe Decky.
Chardet.
Talk to you.
Is this? I'm genuinely asking. Is this?
It's
Chardet?
Not genuine.
I don't know.
No, there's Genuine.
Oh,
we
yeah,
did
I know
that
him.
Last time.
He was on Parks and Rec. I
we did that
him.
Last time.
Yeah, Genuine is Donna. This is Donna, I forgot Donna's last name. Donna Meagle. She's Donna Meagle's cousin, Genuine. That, so if you're a hip-hop artist that has appeared
you know
in
fantastic.
A sitcom, I might know you.
You'll be fantastic. We just go through a streak of a week where it's just R&B hits, mm-hmm. and then you just let it marinate for a little bit. Listeners, no, listen. We're going to talk sports, but we're also going to play R&B hits. That's what people know about you. You end up, I'm going to use this as an example this uh-huh. upcoming weekend. If this comes on the dance floor and you're a couple drinks deep.
No, see, okay.
Are
ahead,
you going out there? Are you going out there?
To
and
this?
Basically, yeah, and you're doing it before anybody else gets out. Like you're
to
the
this?
First, yep, you're the first one that actually goes out
okay,
on the dance
I'm
floor.
I'm genuinely asking. Nobody dances to this, right?
Of course
this
you
is
do.
Like mellow and slow. This is like getting in the mood music.
Yeah, but you do dance to this.
Yeah, you serenade your wife to this.
Well, yeah, but I'm not going to serenade somebody at a wedding. Like I want something that's
you got enough
got
liquor
more,
in you, you would do anything.
A little more tempo.
A little bounce.
Yeah.
A little bounce to it.
Yeah. What's the one, I can't think of the name and I'll get it wrong and it'll be even more embarrassing. But no, I'm not going to sing to anybody. I'm looking to have a good time.
You should do this song. you should sing this song to your wedding on Friday. You should just out of nowhere say, I want to do something special for my lady.
By the way, is there anything worse than somebody that hijacks another person's wedding with their stuff?
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
That's a bad
That's not
look.
A good idea.
Hey, you know, I just want to take a moment. We're here to celebrate Tom and Judy.
Or the best man speech that goes 9 minutes and okay. everything's about that person.
Let me help you here.
Yeah.
If your best man speech is longer than 3 minutes, you need to rewrite it. You need to rewrite it. That thing needs to – here's what you do.
Yeah.
Funny story. Love you. Peace
Cheers.
Out. Peace out.
Yeah,
that's it.
It. Yeah,
Let
that's
me
it.
Tell you about Al. Funny story about Al. Let me tell you about how much Al means to me. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
Cheers, everybody. That's it. If
I
you've
could,
got
I
a second
see
page,
you,
you've done it wrong.
I could see you going 12 to 15 minutes, and you're getting tweets. You're taking tweets. Like it's like a full segment. It's a real
Hold
segment.
On. I just got something from John in Fullerton that
okay,
I'd
we
like
got
to
an
read.
Astley here. Got a couple Astleys that we want to get into.
Yeah, you guys may know me from the Travis and Sliwa show. Let me start. We do this every day, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
I'm going to put Manuel and Gardena on speaker. Let me just get this over towards the mic.
Hey, now – You're producing your wedding toast. I
might
like
be
this
on something.
Let me know when you're ready, and I will knock it out.
Sounds
of the
good.
Park. That's good. I don't like that you kind of hijacked Chris's open right there because Keisha's call needs to be respected. You know what made that so good? Not
I know.
Only that she was talking about Tony Siragusa, it's fat and ugly, whatever she called him.
She said he's dirty, he's fat, and I hadn't heard anything else. I'm like, is that what she's going with? Is there another story to this?
The best part, she's giggling as she's saying it. When you heard it back the second
Actually,
time, you could hear her laughing
I couldn't
at
tell,
her own meanness.
I couldn't tell if that was her or somebody in the background.
It was her. It's great.
That is
Good
fantastic.
Good for you, Keisha. Call back as often as you like. Travis Lee is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Monday Night Football last night, Al, was Jared Goff's entire Rams career in four quarters of football. It was just a masterpiece of producing by Jared Goff himself of, hey guys, let me show you what you really liked and let me show you why I'm a member of the Detroit Lions and I'm going to do it in 3 hours. Stand back. Here I go.
Sit back and enjoy the ride.
Exactly. You want to see a dime right over the defender's hands, soft as a butterfly into my receiver? Boom, there you go. Touchdown. Hey, you want to feel good about where we are? Watch this right down the field. Touchdown. How you like me now? Here we go. Super Bowl, baby.
Next seven snaps, guarantee you I'm going to fumble one.
Hey, you ready for the other part? Okay, this is act two of the story. Act two is watch me fumble this snap after I've already fumbled once in the game. Are you done with that? Okay, you guys got the fumble? Watch this. Interception. The only thing missing from his repertoire last night was the soul-crushing pick six. That was another part of his game that he decided to keep in his back pocket last night.
You confuse me. You really do. Because I can't fully understand your perception on Jared Goff. Because part of me feels like you genuinely yesterday, when the score was 17-14 at halftime and Jared Goff had a good first half, part of me thinks that, no, I want to be able to justify why the Rams went out and got Stafford, and not just justify it, because I think if you took a poll right now, would you rather have Matt Stafford or Jared Goff? 95% are going to say Matt Stafford.
I think that's fair.
But I think it's more than that. It's not only do we have the right guy, not only is this guy going to give us a better chance to win the Super Bowl, part of me feels that you want to see Jared Goff also fail in the process. We've talked so much about Jared Goff. He's not on the squad anymore. I don't know why he comes up so much.
Because it's affirmation that the right decision was made. It's affirmation that the problem, because I'm trying to think of a good example.
I don't think anybody feels it wasn't the right decision.
But no,
that's why it's different.
There was some thought process to, we think it's the quarterback. We think it's the quarterback. But when you went and got the other quarterback, in this case Matthew Stafford, it was, dude, you know that you just replaced a guy that went to the Super Bowl with a guy that's never won a playoff game? There was that. There was,
and that's not going to go anywhere, and it shouldn't go anywhere. So
not until he wins some playoff games. That's not going to go anywhere. But I'm going to use a story. The reason I think people keep pointing it out is because it means that you fixed the problem. And what I mean by that is this. When it rains, there's a corner of my yard that floods.
Okay.
Okay? And it floods, and it floods, and the water comes into the house, and it's a giant mess, and it's incredibly frustrating, and you know that that part of the yard is just, that's the problem. I need to fix that problem. We finally got it figured out where we now have the water runs off to the yard the way that it's supposed to. And every time it rains, I say to my wife, same thing, see? Look, fixed it. Rain harder. Come on, give me the 100-year flood. I want to see how much water we can point on that before it starts to flood again, because I feel good that I fixed the problem. Jared Goff is the flooded corner of your yard. You've fixed it. It's ready to go now. And every time it rains, namely Matt Stafford doesn't throw it to the wrong team or drop the snap, you feel pretty good about you fixing the problem.
So that's actually a great analogy, because there's plenty of times you go back, something that bothered you a ton, you go back and you make mention of, like, hey, that's gone.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about that anymore. But this is what I find kind of comical is you do it so often. I'm not talking about you. I'm just saying in general, I feel like since Jared Goff was traded, I've heard Jared Goff's name more than when he was actually on the team. Like, I feel like he's talked about so much. And let me give this as an example. If you're looking for, I want to feel good that that trade was the right decision, that this is the right move for their future, and maybe there's some question marks even about Matt Stafford because he's only played in three playoff games and he was 0-3 in those playoff games. I don't think you're going to figure any of that out for a while.
I disagree with that.
I don't like the comparisons of watching Jared Goff lose in Detroit for the Detroit Lions, which is one of the worst organizations in all of football that has had absolutely no success, and then all of a sudden that helps justify. Only thing you got to watch is Stafford succeeding with the Rams, and that's all you have to pay attention
to. No, it's not that. It's not just that. It's the problems that Jared Goff had here happening in Detroit has nothing to do with the Lions. It's a Jared Goff issue, right? If Jared Goff all of a sudden looked like a different player, then it's a credit to whoever else has him. Or if he looks different, all of a sudden, let's say Jared Goff, I'm trying to think of a good example here because he did everything pretty poorly. But let's say that for whatever reason, he wasn't getting sacked here in LA, and all of a sudden he's getting sacked in Detroit. That's a different problem. The problems you had here, the flood, if you will, it was the same flood. The water's coming through the same door. He doesn't hold on to the ball. He throws interceptions, and he holds on to it too long. These are not Detroit Lion problems. These are Jared Goff problems. And that's why when you see it, and then you watch a Rams game, and the snap comes, and it's 1-2, ball out. Almost every time. Mm-hmm. Or if it's 1-2, ball's not out, Matt Stafford's on the move. And he's a good enough athlete to extend the play and make something happen. It's not just that Jared Goff's bad on the Lions. It's that he was the exact same flavor of bad, which leads you to believe it was never going to change, so that we did get it fixed. I think when you see it, and it's the only game on TV, Monday Night Football, the whole world is watching, and you see it go, right, that right there is what we don't have anymore, and it feels good.
I don't want to sit here and stand on Jared Goff is, like, I'm trying to make a case here that Jared Goff is Tom Brady or Joe Montana.
Sure.
That's not the case that I'm making.
I know.
What I'm trying to make the case of is, if you think by watching him play for the Detroit Lions against the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field,
I get what you're saying.
Okay, here's a perfect example.
Jared Goff.
Here's a perfect example. Was Jared Goff, will he have better representation, as in he played better than he actually is when he played under Sean McVay and the Rams, than when he plays in Detroit for an organization that has never been successful, a coach that you have no idea that wants to bite off your kneecaps or whatever that quote was? You're not going to get a representation of Jared Goff. So I'm going to go back to this. All Stafford and Ram fans have to do, just watch Stafford ball out, because Stafford's got a lot to prove here too. Stafford three games in the next 3 weeks where there will be some challenges. I just go back to this. I feel like he's been brought up so much, Jared Goff, and it's unnecessary. The dude's going to go like he did. He's in Detroit, and he's probably going to be that quarterback that you've already described.
He's exactly that guy, and he was exactly that. That game could have been in a Lions uniform, a Edmonton Eskimos uniform, does Vancouver have a CFL team? I don't think so.
Sure.
The Calgary Rough Riders or whoever it is, the Barcelona Dragons from the WFL a million years ago. It was what he did, and now it's not here anymore. And I think that's why Rams fan, my hands in the air, that is as excited as we are about it, because it's affirmation that the problem that we have is now somebody else's problem, and we've got that piece figured out.
You can't get affirmation in the first 2 weeks.
Sure you can. Did you not watch last night? Did you not see the performance that he put on?
Let this season play out. You can't get affirmation in 2 weeks. By the way, Matt Stafford is the right quarterback. That's not even the argument. It's just, if you're looking for affirmation, let's say the Los Angeles Rams get to the NFC Championship. Let's say Matt Stafford has a couple great years with the Rams and they never win a Super Bowl. Trav, that's very likely. That's more likely than winning a Super Bowl. That happens. What is your affirmation going to be? If Stafford doesn't win a Super Bowl, was it the wrong move? Of course it wasn't.
I think it matters what happens, but what I'm getting at, Al, is this, and then we'll move on to the next thing. Matthew Stafford hasn't had one moment where you're like, oh my God, that looks exactly the same. He held on the ball too long. How did he drop that? Why is he holding the ball out on the side like that? Where is he looking? None of that. In a very short period of time, you've realized that your new relationship
he's a baller.
Completely gone in
absolutely
a different direction
a
as your old one.
No question
and
about
then
it.
When all of a sudden, for the first time, look, we're never going to talk about the Lions again because they're never going to be on another game that matters. But being on Monday Night Football.
You are going to bring up Jared Goff. By next week, he's going to come up again.
No, I don't think
you're
so.
You're going to pay attention to what he did in his performance. If the Lions win, you're going to look, and if they lose, you're going to look.
Nope. What Jared Goff's name will come up in a different context. It'll come up in context of when Matt Stafford kills it. But what Jared Goff does against the Vikings and the Bears or whoever else they play, and there's one other time. They play the Rams this year at SoFi. So it'll come up there again. That's the only other time I'll ever see him play. The rest of it is relative.
You drafted him in your fantasy.
Travis Sleeves brought to you by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And last night, Monday Night Football, we had our stat hero of the day, Aaron Jones, 4 touchdowns in last night's game. How about that?
I don't want to sit here and say that, you know, there's certain GMs out there that get the job done. I had Aaron Jones. That's all I'm going to
really?
Say. I mean, I don't want to. I'm not here to brag.
Pretty good. I'm not going to take credit.
Granted, I was losing by a lot before Aaron Jones.
Not
did
anymore.
Not anymore.
No. Did you see the story about him losing his necklace?
Unbelievable.
That he had a necklace that he wears that has the ashes of his deceased
Dad.
Father.
Yeah.
That he came off in the game. Now, thankfully, they found it.
And he said it was in the end zone.
Yeah.
He wants me to lose it anywhere. He'd want me to lose it in the end zone. But then he found it.
Look, Aaron Jones, you do you. Whatever makes you happy makes you happy, and I get it. But if I would want that little keepsake somewhere safe. Like
especially in a football game
where
people are
reaching for your neck
you.
Trying to grab you all night long. Maybe we put that in your locker.
I lose a credit card once a week, and I don't have anybody chasing me down. Stat Hero, the exclusive daily fantasy app partner of Travis and Sliwa Show. Stat Hero, the first ever daily fantasy sports book that gives the player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/710ESPN for 300% back on your first play. You could start setting up this Thursday night game, all the college games coming up, all the NFL games coming up, stathero.com/710ESPN.
Okay, so The Dodgers have 12 games left. The Giants have 12 games left. And the math is getting really tricky really quickly. Who needs to avoid that wild card game more, the Dodgers or San Francisco? That's next out. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mishbuka. I think I got it.
Yeah.
Mishbuka. The whole family. That's us.
Everybody.
That's Mason and Ireland. That's Sedano and Cap. It's all of us. The Mishbuka.
Keyshawn, Kellerman, and Jay.
Yes. No, that's out of order. It's Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max. Max is last.
Yeah.
It's just the name of the show. I just wanted to make sure that you had it right. It's important. Accuracy. I'm a bear for accuracy. Is that how you say it?
What was the thing you'd spent 45 minutes on your journalistic integrity? What was it, Bellinger? Just like, you needed one fact from Bellinger.
Well, no, that
and
was...
you said, hey, I can't show up to the show. I have to show up an hour late because I have to head down to the downtown public library to get some facts.
Go through the microfiche?
Yeah. I have to...
Does that exist? Libraries still exist. I've seen them.
Yes, they do.
But does the microfiche still exist? Can I have that little piece of plastic that has 19 newspapers on it, slide it under this magnifying glass that's impossible to find anything? Has there ever been a worse
system than
that?
That's where I do my prep every morning. That's what I do.
On microfiche.
What are the standings between the Dodgers and the Giants? I'll be right back. Be right back.
Speaking of,
yeah,
12-1. Those are the numbers. 12 games to go, one game back. And that's where the Dodgers are heading into their final four series of the year. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average.
I hate this, by the way.
It's gotten to the point. It's gone from a hypothetical exercise because there was enough time left on the clock.
Yeah,
there was enough runway to, okay, you can really do the math now. If the Dodgers win 10, that means the Giants can only win 8. For the Dodgers to win the division.
Outright.
Outright. To win it outright. Because, look, the second you're going into one-and-done situations or one-and-then-maybe-done situations, it brings in variance. You still have 12 games to get this done. The Giants play at San Diego starting today, at Colorado, home with Arizona and San Diego. Okay? Two bad teams in Arizona and Colorado, and then one team in San Diego. It's kind of a mystery at this point. We'll see. They get them twice. The Dodgers in Colorado today, at Arizona after that, and then home with the same San Diego Padres and then the Milwaukee Brewers, who are good. They're going to be the NL Central champions. The schedule narrowly favors San Francisco, I think. The momentum arguably could favor the Dodgers at this point, but they're going to have to win 10 or so of these games to win that division. I don't see how the math works otherwise.
This is why this is so stupid, okay? Both teams, by the way, San Francisco, let's just kind of use, this is the best gauge that I could, this has been a run to the wire here. Everybody's paying attention to every game that the Dodgers and Giants are playing over the last 30 days plus. Last 12 games for the Giants, they're 9-3. Mm-hmm. Last 12 games for the Dodgers, they're 9-3. That's a great record over your last 12 games. Mm-hmm. If that plays out over the final 12 games, San Francisco wins a division, and the Dodgers are obviously set up in a one-game wild card. If I'm trying to make a comparison here, if I'm trying to say, okay, well, is it more important for the Giants or the Dodgers to win the division?
Yes.
Listen, of course we're going to sit here and say it's so important for the Dodgers. It's so critical. You know, you get to set up your guys. Giants are not only in a one-game potential playoff, they could be eliminated. Now you might play the Cardinals in a five-game. Okay, we get into all that. But this is the one thing that I think is the difference between the Dodgers and why for the Giants, who have done – it's not like the Dodgers have done anything wrong. It's the Giants keep freaking responding to whatever the Dodgers do, the Giants continue to win.
Exactly right.
This is why these 12 games are everything to them. Because if I told you that the Dodgers win the division, or let's say I said the Dodgers play 163rd game against the Giants, mm-hmm. and in that one-game playoff, the Dodgers lose – And then the Dodgers win the wild card. Then they have to go back up to San Francisco and face them in a five-game set. Do you still feel like the Dodgers would win that series?
I do, because of the depth. And this is why, look, the wild card is a terrible, terrible result for either the Dodgers or the Giants because of Luis Castillo. Okay, and I'm using him specifically to represent every major league pitcher who's
he's on right
okay.
now, I think. I think this is a game.
Is this the Luis Castillo game?
I want to say this is the game that you're referring to.
That's 100% him, right? Luis Castillo, just to throw some quick numbers, he's a major league pitcher for the Reds. His record this season is 8-15. He loses twice as often as he wins. His ERA is over 4. Last Friday night against the Dodgers, arguably the best team in baseball, he struck out 10 guys in 6 innings and didn't give up a run. That should make a cold shiver go up and down every spine of every Giants fan and of every Dodger fan, because it doesn't have to be that Luis Castillo. Every team's got a Luis Castillo. Every team has a guy. Look, these are major league pitchers. Every single guy in the major leagues has the stuff to, on a day, lock you up. So you want to avoid it. Now, to your point, the Dodgers are more adaptable to that situation than the Giants are. The scenarios that you just laid out, tied at the end, play an extra game, Dodgers go in and win a wild card game. Who's pitching the first game of the San Francisco series?
Julio.
Julio. Who pitches game 2?
Kershaw.
Kershaw. You're fine.
Who pitches game 3?
You're back to Scherzer.
Scherzer and Buehler.
Right. You are fine. The opposite of that, if the Dodgers win 163, and the Giants go into the wild card and win, coming to Dodger Stadium to open up that series?
They're not winning the series.
You got Dee Scalfini and a bullpen day
in those
first two games.
And that's the point that I make, is that Giants will treat these 12 games so desperate. You don't feel like if the Dodgers don't win the division, whether it's 163rd game or not, that you're right. You could have that one game, but I think there were odds that came out to win the World Series. Dodgers, I think, are still 30% odds. The next closest is 12%, something
race.
Along those lines, right? So keeping that in mind, however things play out, you know what's crazy about this? Do you know who's in the best position walking into the postseason?
Milwaukee.
Can you play this out for a second? So the Milwaukee Brewers don't have to play in a wild card game.
Nope. Neither do the Atlanta Braves.
Okay, but let me even play it further than that. Milwaukee doesn't have to play in a wild card game. We'll have home field in the first round. We'll avoid the Dodgers or the Giants in the first round, as in let those two go up against each other if that's what it is, and then we'll face them in the round after. Yeah, not a pretty bad setup for the third best team in the National League.
It is a weird quirk where it works out like this. I agree, it needs to be fixed. This is not something that if you're Rob Manfred, you're the commissioner of baseball, and like they're getting ready to lock everybody out and do what they do, and that's a whole nother conversation for another day, but you're looking at this and I cannot have – these aren't just the two best teams in the National League West. They're not just the two best teams in the National League. They're the two best teams in
Major League Baseball.
Right, the whole league.
Yeah.
One of them is going to be out after the first weekend. That's bad. That's just a bad deal.
Yeah,
you need to, after you go through – even if it – look, let's say you want to keep the wild card exactly how it is. At that point, whoever comes out of it, we're reseeding. If the team that's got a wild card,
Atlanta
has more
and
wins,
St. Louis are playing each other.
Put the Dodgers and Giants on opposite sides of the draw. And by the way, how much better would that series be if you're going into a best of 7, the winner goes to the World Series?
Travis, it's so easy to fix and it's so common sense. That's all we're asking for. Hey, I want more baseball teams to make the postseason. You don't, right? Okay, that's a different conversation. But for this, let St. Louis and Atlanta play in a one-game play. By the way, they're a game and a half separated. That's how it works. The Phoenix Suns or Utah Jazz shouldn't have the best record in the NBA and have to play the Lakers or
the Nets.
Yeah. Come on, what are we doing?
Well, here's the other thing, too. And I'm with you to a point where the Dodgers just get into that best of 5, they're in good shape. The Dodgers get the Brewers and the NLCS, or even if it's the Braves, they're in good shape. Yeah. I agree, and I hope that's how it goes. We need to stop for half a second and realize that the Giants are really good. The Giants did not win 103 games because they got lucky. Okay, you do not get to there are 12 games left. They have the best record in baseball, better than the Dodgers. They've played the Dodgers 19 times this season, and they won more times than the Dodgers did.
Yep.
I get it. It's really close.
100%.
There's a game difference between the Dodgers and Giants heads up. There's a game difference over the course of 150 games.
Mm-hmm.
this is not a fluke. They're going to be very hard to beat in a five-game series. We need to start thinking about not just, oh, once they get in, everything falls into place. That team is damn good.
I hear you. I think you hear yourself. And I think ultimately you're still not 100% sold that they could beat the Los Angeles Dodgers in a five-game set.
Why not, though?
Because
you're right. I agree. I think you nailed my feelings exactly right. But why? I can't come to that. I don't have an answer.
I think it's easy. I think, you know, when I was just using the NBA as an example, Utah can win the most games. Phoenix can win the most games. Talent typically wins. You cannot ask for anything else from the Dodgers. They have everything. So until the San Francisco Giants won a five-game set against the Dodgers, I'd still be sitting there saying, well, you know, if this was best of seven. but that's why. It's
best
because
of nine, best of 11, 13, until the Dodgers get up. All right, that counts. Let's
when
go.
Push comes to shove, when push comes to shove, there's a reason why they're a 30% favorite to still win it all, regardless of where they end up in the division.
I think you're right.
You're right about the respect. You're right about they've been playing great. Until you watch the Dodgers lose 3 of 5 to the Giants, I just don't think you're going to believe it.
I love what you said. Talent typically wins. You're right, right? We've played 150 games. This isn't a short three-game – what was it, last year where the Dodgers played the Brewers in the first round, right? And the Dodgers swept them right out. Done. We're out of here. On to the next one. That's where variance can come in and all of those things. But this idea that the Dodgers are that – are they better? Yes. Are they
– then why do you feel that way? Because we both feel the same way.
I don't know. And maybe it's Max Scherzer. Maybe it's that I've
seen – that's a lot to do with
it. I've seen Walker Buehler pitch in the postseason.
No question about it.
And I know how good that is. I know that Mookie is back and healthy, but it's not like, to your point, like let's use the Lakers as an example from a year ago. It was very obvious why the Lakers had the 7th best record in the league. It was obvious because LeBron missed a bunch of time, AD missed a bunch of time, and it just they never really got a chance.
I didn't think Phoenix was a threat.
No, but that was obvious. The Dodgers, for the last month, let's say, okay, maybe a little bit longer than that, they've been at full strength. Or more to the point, they've been at as close to full strength as they're going to get.
Yeah.
Because Cody Bellinger, that piece is I've kind of moved on from that. It is what it is. Mookie's back and playing well. Seager's back and playing well. You got Max Scherzer pitching, you know, as good as anybody's ever thrown a baseball. You've got Trey Turner, who might be the best player on the team. Will Smith is hitting home runs. Muncy's coming alive a little bit. You've got your vet in Justin Turner, who's always a threat. You know, you're missing A.J. Pollock, I guess, is the one piece, but Gavin Lux is hot. It's not like you're waiting for something to come back, and hey, once we get that, we go right by him. They've been back.
But Giants keep winning. Like I don't think it's the Dodgers that have done anything wrong.
That's
it's
what's
the Giants
so scary
winning.
About yeah. it. Right? It's not that... Hey, once the Dodgers blank, it's,
sure.
they've
no,
already
they're here.
Blanked.
Yeah, they're here.
They've already blanked in the
12
Giants
games to go. Both teams, one game apart, and the Milwaukee Brewers are in the best position in baseball. Could I get into something here? So when we come back, I want to do this.
My dancing?
The question, there was a question about, Shaq was asked this on First Take with Stephen A. Smith about kind of championship or bust. I want to play out a scenario for you when we come back in regards to the Lakers. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. Travis and Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
People still feel a certain way about their sports villains. This goes all the way back to something we were talking about earlier, Al. We were picking our favorite sports villains, the guys we love to hate. You had Paul Pierce. I had Larry Bird. They are still coming in. People are still wanting to free themselves from their sports hate.
Love to hate. Like, that's such a – using those words together.
Jumbo shrimp.
It's not bad. That's not bad.
It's the ultimate
oxymoron. I can't tell you how much I love hating this person. It's like – it feels – doesn't that just sound
– there is an
there's
odd,
a weird
satisfying
combination there.
Feeling about, God, I hate this guy.
Yeah.
And it's fun in sports particularly because there's nothing really at stake other than you hope they miss a shot or something like that. Let's try one more of these here. Let's go to Daniel in Pomona. Daniel, you're on with Travis Lee. What's up? Daniel.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey, Travis. First of all, I want to say I love you guys' show. I'm a new listener. You guys do an amazing job. The person I wanted to say, man, I can't believe nobody said Madison Bumgarner, man.
Baumgartner right there. Daniel, appreciate you calling. Daniel, you know, God bless him. Appreciate the call. I think the phone was 40 feet away. I don't think it was next to him. I don't know.
He had the speaker turned on, and he was in the kitchen, but his phone was in the bedroom.
He was definitely driving, and the phone was – it's a Suburban that he drives. It was the third row back. That's a good one.
It is. You know what, though? That ever since Max Muncy go get it out of the ocean to him, I've kind of like lost my lust for Madison Bumgarner failure. Because part of the reason he was really fun to hate,
yeah,
he was a part of those Giants World Series teams. Oh, yeah. He was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. He was so good. But when he started to stare down Muncy after the home run into the bay, and Muncy, go get it out of the ocean if you don't, like, okay, you're done, Bumgarner. That just kind of neutered him for the rest of his career in my eyes.
Okay, so I want to play something here from Shaq. Shaq was on First Take with Stephen A. Smith. I don't even want to set it up. I want to play it, and then we'll react to it.
If both teams stay healthy, I would like to see those teams in the finals. But I like Carmelo. He was raised by us. Westbrook was raised by us. LeBron was raised by us. So you know when they get angry, they play very well. So now they're angry. Everybody's doubting them. They built this little super team. Carmelo Anthony is correct. It's championship or bust.
Okay, so I want to go off of this. Carmelo was talking about the Lakers. It's just as simple as this. You either win a championship and it was a successful year or it wasn't. So, Trav, let me play out a scenario for you.
Okay.
Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets are by far the two favorites. By far the two favorites.
Sure.
Okay? Everybody's going to expect Brooklyn healthy, who, by the way, should have beat the Milwaukee Bucks. They weren't healthy. Lakers should have beat Phoenix. Okay, is what it is. It happens. This is part of sports. But coming into this season, if it's not the Lakers and the Nets, something has had to have happened, right? Let's say the Lakers.
Go ahead.
I think something will have had to have happened. And there's a couple reasons for that. I don't think Philadelphia, who's Ben Simmons, is not going to report. I don't think Philly's going to be in the mix.
Yeah.
Milwaukee could be a problem.
Sure.
But I will just say that the Bucks were down 2-0. Kyrie gets injured. James Harden was a shell of himself.
I don't want to lose the point of the Lakers and the Nets because I like where you're headed. But Giannis found a new gear in that series, though. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just the absence of those other guys. It certainly played a part, mm-hmm. but Giannis took his game to a whole new place.
Put it this way. Go do it this year if that squad is healthy.
Yeah.
And LaMarcus Aldridge is back on there. And they added Patty Mills. Like, you go down the list.
Sure.
The team is stacked.
Sure.
Let's say the Lakers played the Brooklyn Nets in the NBA Finals.
Okay.
And let's say it went 7 games. And you got two unbelievable squads going at each other. Put it this way. It's not – if the Brooklyn Nets lost to the Lakers in 7 games, you might just have to kind of sit there and say, there was nothing else that we could have done. If the Lakers lost to the Brooklyn Nets in 7 games, I think it's kind of the same way. Maybe there was nothing. They lost by 6 points in Game 7 of the NBA Finals. Championship or bust? In that scenario, is it – how would you describe that?
I think it's different for those two different teams. You're talking about a 7-game – epic series, right? They both are just, and they're both playing well. It's not a battle of attrition where Anthony Davis is out and James Harden is out. It's
everybody's there.
Everybody's there and everybody's firing, right? I think for the Nets in that situation, it's a great season and we got beat by a great team. We came up 1 game short. And you can live with it, and it's a successful season in the eyes of that organization. Maybe not in the eyes of Kevin Durant, who's already got championships. He doesn't need to check boxes. But I think everybody else can kind of feel – James Harden can probably feel, you know what, hey, whatever.
We'll be back here.
Yeah, we'll be back. Mm-hmm. I think for the Lakers, it's different. I think for the Lakers, the Celtics
– I hate this answer.
The Yankees.
No, actually, I don't even think it's that.
That I think there are certain teams that it's either you win it all or it wasn't a good year. And the Lakers – and it's the ultimate compliment. It's the ultimate compliment to say to somebody, I expect you to win it all, and anything less than that is looked at as a failure.
You know where I thought you were going? I thought you were going towards it's different for the Lakers, not because of those reasons. I thought you were going to say because you don't know how many years you have left with
too.
LeBron.
Sure. That's a part of it. Yeah.
Where for Brooklyn, there's a window here. They're going to eventually, it looks like they're going to extend James Harden. You know KD and Kyrie is going to be there. That's going to be pretty much the same three for at least 3-4 years.
Can I be honest with you?
I don't know what's going to happen. When it comes to that.
You're right, and human anatomy and just the basic deterioration of the human body over time is kind of normal. I'm done predicting the end of the LeBron James run. I thought that the LeBron James run was going to be over 5 years ago, and it's not. Keep it like, I know it feels like a million years ago. It wasn't. LeBron James was on his way to winning an MVP last year. Okay, and I get it. And he had an injury, but it wasn't one of those weird non-contact, nobody touched him. Hey, why is he pulling up right there?
It's a freak play.
Somebody rolled into his ankle.
Yeah.
Right? It was a contact injury, which you put back together and you go, I hear what you're saying and you're probably right, but if the scenario that you painted, 7 games, a point or two in either direction, and they come up a little bit short, my concern is not, hey, are they going to be able to do it again? It's, damn, they just missed. And as a Laker fan and as somebody that wants to win championships, I think the Lakers, you can count them on one hand in all sports, title or bad season. The Lakers are one of a few teams that live like that.
True, but then there's also the reality part. And I think the reality part is where it differs for me. Yeah, I get it. Lakers, before they won their last championship, they had won 16 championships. But to sit here and say, hey, it's a championship or bust when D'Angelo Russell's your point guard and Julius, it's just like, okay, it's unrealistic.
Of course.
It's realistic now. And when I say that, you're right. For us to sit and try to predict how many more years LeBron's going to be LeBron James, it's stupid. Because I remember when LeBron was coming to the Lakers for the first year.
Retirement job.
And it was his 16th season.
He's not even going to try anymore.
How crazy was all that conversation?
I know.
And here he is now, 3 years with the Lakers. He's won an NBA championship. 2 years the Lakers have had injuries. One of them was to LeBron 3 years ago. Another one was to LeBron and Anthony Davis this past season, right? But AD specifically in the playoffs. That's the part that I think is the only thing that should derail them. And that doesn't mean Brooklyn's not good enough to beat them, because they are.
Yeah, look, I can't wait. I hope it goes exactly the way that you said, and I hope that the Lakers end up winning the title. But I think Shaq knows. Shaq was a member of this team for a long time that won 3 championships. He knows. Shaq doesn't look at his tenure in Los Angeles as, I won 3, but I went to 4. Uh-uh. He won 3. Probably should have had 4.
No question about it.
Right?
They should have had more.
Right.
Him and Kobe should have played at least 10 years together.
I won MVPs. Mm-hmm. I scored this many points. I blocked this many shots. And I went. It's, what did you? You're on the Lakers? Yeah. How many titles did you win? 3. Oh, cool. Not, I went to the finals 4 times. It's different here. And it's awesome, and it's a high bar, and that's why when Anthony Davis is one of the best players in the league, Al, people go, yeah, I'm going to need a little more out of you. That only happens in places like this. It only happens on
love
teams
that too, by the way.
Like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's the best way it could be. It's mm-hmm. the ultimate compliment, except if you end up in the dump, which is coming up next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN. All right, Al, before we get to the dump, there's good stuff today. Blockbuster probably wants that tweet back. We'll get to that in just a couple of seconds here, but people hate things. People hate players on other teams in particular.
Well, you went from, you know, sports villains, and I forgot how the conversation, oh, Funch has brought it up in Bunch of Funch.
J.J. Redick retired.
You went from sports villains to, just call us, tell us what you want to complain about. I'm like, Trav, that's the
kind
angle.
Of my lane.
Like, yeah,
like
no,
complaining.
I like that.
Complaining feels good. It kind of unburdens you, makes you feel pretty good inside. Let's try at least one more here. Newport Beach and Blaine. I feel like everybody's named Blaine in Newport Beach. Blaine, what's going on this morning?
Hey, guys, you're awesome. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks.
I got two. Shooter McGavin always kind of ticked me off. And he reminds me a lot of Lane Kiffin, both smug, narcissistic, full of themselves, and
I like
really
it.
Kind of, you know. Also, I had a personal experience with Lane Kiffin in my son's football camp when he was getting recruited, and just was a zero personality. So those are my two.
That's pretty good. I covered Pac-12 Media Day when Lane Kiffin was the head coach at SC.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring the coaches through. They bring all the – Mike Riley was at Oregon State at the time, sat down, was awesome. Was just awesome, engaging, telling stories, good time. Talked a little bit of Oregon State football, whatever. But just, he was awesome. Rich Rodriguez was the coach at Arizona at the time. He comes through. He's awesome. Lane Kiffin sat down, crossed his legs, and literally turned his back on me. And was like, yeah, I don't know, maybe. It was, so, yeah, Blaine, I'm with you on that. The Ole Miss can have Lane Kiffin. That's fine by me.
Do you follow Shooter McGavin on Twitter?
No. Should I?
It's a good follow.
Is it the actor, or is it like some weird –
I
ghost
think,
account.
Listen, I could be completely wrong, but I think it's the actor.
It's the actor, but he goes by Shooter McGavin on Twitter.
I I have a Shooter McGavin story. Have I ever told this story?
No, say it.
So I used to live over on the west side, and a lot of people here in town know this intersection. It's the intersection of San Vicente and Montana Avenue.
Okay.
Okay, there's a Coffee Bean on the corner there. I'm parked with my buddy in his car. He has a Bronco and the top's off, so it's a summer day. It's beautiful. We're sitting there parked at a red light. Shooter McGavin walks across the intersection right in front of our car, mm-hmm. the actor whose name I can't pull right now. And my buddy John says, "I eat pieces of like you for breakfast." The line from Happy Gilmore.
Yep.
Without breaking stride, without looking up, coffee cup in one hand, just waves at the car like, "Hey guys, see ya, heard it. You're the 38th person to tell me that in the last hour," and just keeps moving.
Christopher McDonald.
That's the actor. From that moment forward, I loved him because it would have been very easy for him to pretend he didn't hear it. And he just, "Hey guys, yep, see ya, thank you."
Okay, just as an example, this is one of his tweets yesterday. It's just a photo of Aaron Rodgers during the game doing one of these. Right? And he just titles it, "He Learned from the Best." Like it's actually a good follow. It's a good follow. There was some Happy Gilmore anniversaries, and he was all over it and going back and forth with Adam Sandler.
Absolutely love it. Let's go to the dump. Okay. This was a tweet sent out by the official Blockbuster account. For those of you that know, I don't need to explain it.
I got to actually get there today. I got to return a couple. I got a couple movies to return.
You got a couple of VHS copies of Star Wars that you need to return.
Die Hard 3, I got to take back.
So when video stores still existed, Blockbuster was the King Kong of this genre.
Yeah.
This is what they tweeted 10 years ago. This has not aged well. Tweet why you're leaving Netflix. The top three most creative tweets using hashtag goodbye Netflix will win a 1-year subscription to Blockbuster.
Okay.
Whoops.
am I wrong on this? Because from what I understand, Blockbuster still has some locations, right? They still have like a couple. I'm not kidding. I think Alaska, there's some locations.
I think it's there's one. So I watched the documentary on Netflix, I believe.
It's in Oregon.
Yeah, it's in Oregon.
It's in Bend, Oregon.
It's in Bend, Oregon. And there's one left. Yes.
Freezing cold takes, by the way, during sports, right? Oh, they'll find you. Like if you would have tweeted out.
For sure.
If somebody would have tweeted out yesterday, Jared Goff doesn't look all that bad, and it's end of the first half. You're going to get up on freezing cold takes.
I better go through my Twitter feed because I guarantee you I have one or two of those. Jared Goff isn't that bad. This is from everybody knows Andrew Siciliano. He does the Rams pregame show, the preseason games, Red Zone, Andrew Siciliano, NFL Network. And he just texts me, Did you just tell a story about a Bronco at the corner of San Vicente and Montana in Brentwood? Yeah, I did. Not that Bronco, Andrew. I didn't even think about that. But you're right. I was in a different Bronco, same neighborhood. But,
a Shooter McGavin story.
Yeah, the Shooter McGavin story. I used to see OJ at the Brentwood Country Mart right down the street from there all the time with Marcus Allen. That's when I'd go buy baseball cards up there when I was 10. It was pretty good. All right, let's keep moving in the dump. How about this? Coming into last night's Monday Night Football game, a guy had made a bet on a 16-team parlay where he bet $25 that would have won him more than $75,000. He needed the Lions on the money line. They just needed to win. They didn't need to cover. They just needed to win.
Yeah.
And then Jared Goff went to work and took $75,000 out of that guy's pocket.
What are you talking about? Listen, if I'm coming in a 16-team parlay and all I need is the Lions to win at Green Bay, I'm telling everyone before the game starts, I'm not winning. This is not happening.
Well, so, okay, I'm not – somebody that's a gambling person, hit me up on Twitter, at Travis Rogers, at Alan Sliwa, and help me out here.
Yeah.
I'm fairly certain sometimes you can sell that bet to someone else. Like, they'll give you – so if it's $75,000, you can sell the ticket for $5,000.
Are you placing the bet right now? You want to make a couple calls? I'll make a couple calls.
You got the guy.
I'll text Funches.
If you're in that situation, are you betting on your $75,000 hit on the Lions, or are you selling that bet to someone else? Like, look, I'll give you $5,000 for this, but I get the ticket.
Lions are not beating the Packers, so right. I'm selling whatever
Maybe
I can
nobody
sell.
Nobody wanted to buy
one,
it.
One thing, guys, it wasn't $75,000. It was $750,000.
$750,000 is what he would have won if the Lions beat the Packers.
Yes.
If you'd have told me, hey, Al, you got to bet $10 on that Monday night game – And all you need to do is just have the Lions win. I'm holding on to my $10.
he basically guessed all the winners of
right.
Week
that's a parlay. You got to guess all the teams right.
That's $750,000.
Put all that money on Jared Goff on the Lions that okay. I have to watch again
weren't
on Thanksgiving.
Were they winning, at first?
We say that again.
Weren't
Punch?
They winning at first?
They were up ahead at half. Yeah, they were ahead at the half.
The Lions.
You had a good half then.
At half, it's 17-14 mm-hmm. Lions. You got $750,000. Somebody says, I'll buy that ticket off you. Keep in mind, you've only invested $25.
Yep.
Somebody says, I'm going to buy that ticket off you for $1,000 right now with them leading at the half. Do you sell it?
I wouldn't sell it just because the $750, obviously the plus side and $1,000 is not going to make or break. It's not the end of the world.
Jared Goff is the quarterback of the
but
Lions.
But I'm also knowing that I'm losing $1,000. I also know that I'm flushing a grand down the toilet.
It does kind of feel like that, doesn't it? It does feel like you – I don't know. I think I'm going to let it ride. All right. Did you see that Peyton Manning says that he believes that the Patriots tapped his locker?
How good was that? How good was that? He said he'd go in the shower. Brett Favre was on yesterday.
How good is that?
Gronk came on yesterday. Yeah, by the way, this was one of those things from Peyton, too. He wasn't hiding anything. He's like, yeah, I think one time the Patriots had a game – they played in Indianapolis, something along those lines. And he said, yeah, I knew my locker was going to be wired and tapped. So I just went with the receivers and the rest of the offense in the shower, seven of us huddled in the corner.
Okay, I don't know if this is like urban legend or something. Are football teams really this preoccupied with espionage? I mean, going back to tape lockers.
Yeah, but he's talking about, talking about the Patriots specifically.
I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. But presumably if the Patriots are doing it, look, a lot of guys have left the Patriots and gone other places.
Yeah.
Patriots win a whole bunch of games. If I'm a Patriot assistant coach and all of a sudden I'm an assistant coach somewhere else, I'm saying, hey, you know what we used to do over here? We might want to try it over here. It just feels like this is far more urban legend than reality.
Do you remember when that video, where were they, in Cleveland, where the dude was set up, the Patriots were set up?
I mean, you can take the tape.
So, no, I don't think this is espionage. I think there are legitimate concerns about certain franchises, Patriots being one of them.
Whose birthday are you more excited about today? Carlton from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, which is your favorite show as a kid.
Yep.
Or another legendary actor from a legendary kid show, Uncle Joey. David Coulier also has a birthday today.
That's solid. Those are two solid ones.
Really good.
Yeah, those are two solid ones. I'll go Carlton. Carlton's a legend.
That's your show. Every time we talk TV shows or anything, you are always the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air guy.
Funch, was that your favorite or no?
It wasn't my favorite.
No?
What was your favorite?
I don't know, man. I had so many favorites. I got to think about it for a second. But it's not Fresh. Fresh Prince is probably the top five.
How good was Carlton? The Carlton dance. The dude has his own dance. People are still performing it at weddings like you're going to be doing this Friday.
That's kind of all I got. That's kind of my only go-to move.
That's your go-to.
I'm not a good dancer.
Everybody's like, okay, Trav, you want to show us something else? You're like, no, this is the one.
I'm doing my Tom Jones or my Carlton. I've got one move. It's awkward. I do it over and over and over again, and then I go sit down and
but you could do that with confidence and do it so awkward that it becomes kind of cool. Like if you do it and you're uncomfortable, that's not a good thing. If you're comfortable with it, that's all that matters.
The pod.
ESPN app or on iTunes. Catch all full 3 hours. If you miss any part of the show, 9:55 to 1 p.m. and Mason Island coming up next.
12 games to go in the Dodgers season. They open up a 3-game series in Colorado today. Al, I would very much like to come in here at 8:55 tomorrow, 9:55 tomorrow morning, knowing that we have 11 with zero to go. We'll see you then.